Where are the bodies of the unsaved? Where are the bodies of the unsaved? Well, Revelation 20:13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So right now, the soul of the unsaved person is in a place of torment. The body is, the Bible says, the sea gave up the dead. So those who died and their bodies drowned in the sea, their bodies will be given up. Death, the bodies that are being held on this earth in whatever capacity, whether they were cremated, whether they went to the grave.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2.
All right. We've been talking about The Great White Throne Judgment. I was thinking about next week, and I think that if I get the chance to study it out, I'd like to do something on Russia in the Bible. You know, the Bible says that Russia has a very significant role in end time prophecy, and I believe some of what we see going on right now is a part of that. So next week I'm going to try to do a study. Again, I'm not going to promise, but if I have extra time to study, then I'm going to try to do a study on Russia in end time prophecy. So we'll send out the notes ahead of time, so you'll know what I'm doing. But this week we're finishing up The Great White Throne Judgment. We said that there are several views about the Great White Throne. We talked about that last week, premillennial, amillennial, and postmillennial. So we dealt with that last week. What is the meaning of the Great White Throne Judgment? The Great White Throne Judgment is when believers from all times in the history of mankind will stand before God to be judged for the things they have done while living on this earth. After this judgment, they will be cast into the lake of fire. So that's the meaning of the Great White Throne Judgment. The one key passage, there are a couple passages, but the one key passage is found in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. So let me read that. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a sad passage of scripture. You know, I believe that if not the saddest passage in scripture, I believe that this is one of the saddest passages in scripture, where we see the unsaved being judged and then cast into the lake of fire. Another key passage is found in the book of Daniel. And then there was another one. I didn't put it up here, but it's in your notes, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Last week, we talked about the misconception regarding the Great White Throne. Then we said, is this a symbolic or literal event? And I believe it's literal. But even if it is symbolic, the results are still the same. The results are still the same. Then we talked about the unbelievers on trial the holding place, their soul. Like right now, the souls of unbelievers who died without Christ is in a place called Hades, or, you know, another word that we would use is hell. We see that in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Where are the bodies of the unsaved? Where are the bodies of the unsaved? Well, Revelation 20:13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So right now, the soul of the unsaved person is in a place of torment. The body is, the Bible says, the sea gave up the dead. So those who died and their bodies drowned in the sea, their bodies will be given up. Death, the bodies that are being held on this earth in whatever capacity, whether they were cremated, whether they went to the grave, death is going to give up the bodies. And then hell or Hades, this means, this word hell and Hades, you have to look at the context, because it can either mean the place of punishment, or it can mean the grave. Okay. Or it can mean the grave. In this instance right here, it refers to the grave. Notice the other two references are to a place. The sea is a place, death is a place where the bodies went. So Hades, the grave, would be a place where the bodies are. So the soul will be resurrected from Hades. The body will be resurrected from wherever it is on this earth, and it will be reunited. The unbeliever on trial, we see they will stand before the great white throne. Great in the sense that it's the ultimate, white in the sense of purity and holiness, and a throne represents majesty. So a great majestic throne where only purity and holiness reign. That's what the great white throne represents. Who's the judge? We talked about this last week. Jesus Christ is the judge, none other than Jesus Christ. So you see the verses there that let us know that Christ is the judge. I'm gonna come back to this verse later. So let me go on past this. We looked at this week, who are the defendants? The dead. Okay, so I believe it's the dead of all time that were not righteous. You know, we know that you couldn't accept Christ until he died and was buried and rose again. So what happened to all them people in the Old Testament? Well, they were righteous based upon their belief in Messiah, based upon their belief that God was going to send the anointed one. So they were righteous based on that. So the unrighteous are those that didn't accept Christ or didn't receive the promise of the Messiah, or didn't have that faith and belief in God. So of all ages, from Adam until the very last day of the tribulation, all people who were unsaved will stand before the great white throne. All right, we looked at their works, all right, and their defense will be their works and their ignorance. But that's not going to work before God. That's not going to fly before him. So let's look at this. This is where we pick up today. And with that said, let me take a sip of water. The witnesses, and this will be in your notes. The witnesses against the defendants. When that person is standing there at the great white throne, and God said he opened the books. Dr. Harold Wilmington, one of my teachers while I was in seminary, he has gone home to be with the Lord. He has written Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. If you don't have that book, you need to have that book. You need to have, every Christian needs to have, other than the Bible, every Christian should have Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. But in that book, Dr. Harold Wilmington talks about five books. You notice in Revelation, it says that they will judge out of the books. He says that there are five books that they will be judged out of. The first book that he suggests is the book of conscience, the book of conscience. And that is in Romans chapter 2. And again, these verses are typed out for you in the notes. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, okay, they don't, you know, the Jews had the law, right? They did, the Jews had the law. The Gentiles didn't have the law. And it says that they do by nature the things that are contained in the law. Wow. Wow. They didn't have the law, but they did the things which were contained in the law. Well, why did they do that? The Bible says that they show that the law, they show that they have the law written in their heart. Think about that. Think about that. They didn't have the law, but by nature did the things which were in the law. Why? Because the law was written in their heart. And it says their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. In the day, look at this, don't miss this, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. So the Gentiles, they'll say, well, we didn't have the law. We didn't have the feasts. We didn't have the tabernacle. We didn't have all these things. We didn't have the 630 some laws of Moses. So they're going to stand before the great white throne and they're going to say, we didn't have this. And Jesus is going to say, hold up, wait a minute. It was written in your hearts. My, my, my. It was written in your hearts that you did the things, you knew the things, even though you didn't have it physically before you, that it was in your heart, that my law was written on your heart. And so even an atheist, the law of God is written in their heart. They have just chosen to suppress the law or ignore the law or disregard the law of God written in their heart, but it was written in there, right? So they're going to have to answer to God at the great white throne. The second book that God can use to witness against a person at the great white throne is the book of words. The book of words, Matthew 12, 36 through 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So when you, not you, I hope, hopefully not you, but when people stand before the great white throne, God possibly can open the book of their words. And every time they cuss somebody out, right? Every time they took the Lord's name in vain, every time they said a disparaging mark to someone, every time they spoke down to a child. And Jesus said that if you offend a child, it's better for you than a millstone be hung around your neck, thrown into the lake. A millstone was a big, heavy stone, right? So you know what's going to happen there. If they tie that around your neck and throw you in the lake, you're going to drown. You're going straight to the bottom, right? The book of words. You know what? I've said a lot of things that I regret. I've said a lot of things. I've wounded people. I've hurt people with my words. I know that. But thank God that my words have been covered by the blood of Christ. Ooh! That my words have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that I'm not going to have to give an account of my words.
Yeah.
Because it's been covered by the blood. But unsaved people are going to have to give an account of their words when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Notice Jesus said here that every idle word that you have spoken, idle, you know, which means worthless words that you have spoken, that you're going to give an account for. Another book that will rise up against the unbeliever at the judgment day is the book of secret things. Notice he says in Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, the secrets, all those things that people did, they thought they were getting away with, right? You know, again, I've done some things that I would be ashamed for anybody to know. I would be ashamed for anybody to know. And as far as I know, me and the Lord are the only ones that know about it. But you know what? The unsaved, when they stand before God at the judgment seat, you know, and again, I don't know how God is going to do this. You know, I think of maybe one or two ways, right? And this one in my sanctified imagination, that there's a big screen when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that there's a big screen there, and Jesus just begins to flash all those things that you thought you got away with up on there, and it's seen for you to remember. That's one thing. But I believe another way that God could do it is just as you stand there at the great white throne, that God can in your mind just begin to bring all these things up. So they might not be flashed on a screen, right? But just in your mind, thing after thing after thing after thing after thing that you thought you got away with is just rehearsed, brought back up in your mind. Secrets that you thought you got away with. Notice what he says. In the day when God shall judge the secret things, the secret things. The next book. Now remember, what did he say? God opened the books and judged them. What were the books? Well, according to Dr. Wilmington, the book of conscience, the book of words, the book of secret things, and yep, you got it, the book of your works. The book of your works. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. So we got those secret things again, right? Whether it be good or whether it be evil. So when you stand, when people stand at the judgment seat, God is going to bring every work, you know, the evil deeds that people did, the wicked things that people did, God will bring their works, and their works will witness against them at the judgment seat of Christ. And then the book of life, the book of life. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So there's the book of life that's in heaven, Revelation 20 and verse 12. What is, let's see, I thought I had something here. Okay, I guess I didn't put it in. I thought I had something on the book of life, but let me tell you what this book of life is, all right? The book of life, also known, or as people would say today, AKA the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we see that the Book of Life is a book that has all the names of the saved people in it. And it says that he opened the book, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, how do people's names get in the book of life? Well, there's two theories, and you know what, this is in your notes. So again, you have it there before you, it's in your notes. One way is Revelation. Let me read Revelation 17 in verse 8. Revelation 17, if you got your Bibles and want to turn there, please feel free to do that. Revelation 17 and verse 8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Look at this. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So God knew who was going to be saved from the foundation of the world. And he wrote their names in the book of life, so that now at the great white throne, a book that will witness against unsaved people is the book of life, because their name was not written in that book from the foundation of the world. So at that point, God all, you know, and really let's think about it. God always knew who was going to get saved and who wasn't going to get saved. And so he wrote their names down in the book of life. Now there's another view that says everybody's name is written in the book of life. And when they die, if they haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then their books are their name is taken out of the books. So that those are the two views as to how people's name get in the book of life. One is because they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and God knew that. And so from the very beginning, God wrote their name in the book. That's one view. The other view says that everybody who has ever lived, their name has been written in the book of life. And when they die, if they die without Jesus, if they die without being righteous, that their names are taken out. But this seems to be the key here. If your name ain't in here, you ain't getting in. You know, you can go and you can say, well, I know so-and-so, right? You know, I know so-and-so. And all God is going to do is open the book. And if your name is not in the book, you're not getting in. You could go and you can say, well, did not do all these good works in your name, did not cast out demons, did not feed the poor, did not clothe the naked, did not visit those who were in prison. And God is going to say, those are some good things. Those are some good things that you did. But let me look at the book. And if he opens the book and your name is not in the book of life, you can't get in. And not only can you not get in, but the Bible says that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. So these are the witnesses against the defendants. So, you know, I believe that, you know, when people stand at the great white throne, it's just not going to be, okay, boom, you're judged, you're going. I believe that, you know, God is going to bring up all these things to let them know why they haven't gotten it. But the most important thing is that they didn't accept Christ, because had they accepted Christ, they would have been excused from the book of conscience, the book of words, the book of secret things, and the book of works, had they accepted Jesus Christ. So, you know, the fact is that, you know, people say, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Well, you know, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People go to hell because they refuse to accept his plan. They refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why they go to hell. And then when they go, these things witness against them, you know, to say, well, this is why you are going right here. This is the very reason why you're going. The book of conscience, the book of words, the secret things, the book of works. And most of all, your name is not in the book of life. What is the verdict? What is the verdict? What is the verdict?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 2 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.